Katie Kempner, and welcome to Perspectives Live here at Advertising Week. Perspectives is a series of inspiring conversations with remarkable working women, and I am really excited to be speaking with Elena Clow of Momentum today. Elena, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Katie. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. So let's just start by hearing a little bit about your career and your job now.
Sure. My career. Let's start with my current role and then we can back on there. I'm the Chief Strategy and Product Officer for Momentum Worldwide, which is an experiential agency, part of the Interpublic Group. But I did not know that this job even existed when I was in college. And in fact, when I was in college, I was a political science and studio art major and kind of just went with the flow and really loved political science. So I started a PhD program in George Washington to become a professor in political science. And while I was there, I suddenly had this epiphany. What am I doing? This isn't for me. And so I came to New York and I started to work, started in consulting because that made the most sense. That didn't click. And I fortunately had a good friend, Ricky Joshi, who was working at a marketing agency doing sponsorships for General Motors, said, hey, we have this starting level position in research. Do you think you would be interested? And so what does an overqualified, non-experienced graduate student do? They say yes. And that started like a remarkable journey for me. I fell in love with the world of marketing, the combination of being able to apply the science of research, statistical modeling to a creative practice called marketing was just like, I can't believe this even existed and how lucky am I to be in it. And it was at a very interesting point in time with experiential where there wasn't a lot of rigor when it came to sponsorship marketing from a measurement perspective. So I was able to apply those skills and start to develop a new kind of capability that's then led to this journey that I've been on now for many, many years. I won't say how long though.
Okay, that's a whole other episode because I am on a mission for women to, you know, say their age and say all, and then at the same time, sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, okay. Or like how long they've been working. But that's another conversation.
Oh, I could say it. I'm 43 years old and I've been working for, I don't know, I have to do my math now.
So 100 years.
100 years. 20 years.
Well, welcome, Elena.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've gone heavy all of a sudden very quickly.
I hear that a lot. But people come back, so I guess it's okay.
It's a form of therapy.
So I'm 54 by now. I've been working for 100 years. So this may sound like a ridiculous question here at Advertising Week, but just to like set the stage, in this day and age, what exactly is experiential marketing?
Oh, well, it depends who you ask. But for me, experiential, we use it because I think it's a easy way for people to identify the marketing practice. But I feel like our industry has grown into being more, I feel like a better word with the word we use a lot more is brand experiences. Mm-hmm. Experiential in the day had this, was correlated with events, right? And it's not that events are bad. That's the practice and the functional thing that we do events. But really, people think events, parties, something fun. And what we're trying to create is brand experiences, which is a little bit different than a party or, you know, a hangout. It's bringing a brand, which is a very conceptual idea, into real life beyond a product or a service. And how do we create an environment where people can walk in and feel what that brand stands for and what that brand does? In a way that's immersive, gets people talking, gets them to advocate and hopefully make a purchase or stay loyal or whatever that business outcome is for a brand. And that is a really interesting thing because then it takes a form of its own. It can be an amazing celebration. It can be an installation. It can be a virtual moment. It can be on a package, a QR code. An brand experience can live pretty much anywhere and be anything, which makes the creative and strategic exercise of it really, really interesting for me.
See, I'm glad I asked. And part of that, or a big part of it, is connecting with culture. It's like a phrase that you see all over Advertising Week. Connecting with culture. But how do you effectively build new ideas in this world that is changing so rapidly in a way that connects with culture? But I mean, it's a great phrase.
Culture.
I'll never use it again.
Yes,
for now.
Well, in a weird way, I feel like our agency has been purpose-built for this moment because, unlike other agencies, our timelines are very short. We don't have months to develop a strategic brief or a creative platform. We might have days or hours sometimes in really tough circumstances. So we have to work really, really quickly in terms of honing what that strategic insight is. We have to, we call it move at the pace of culture in order to make sure that reflexively we're building something that is of the moment and in the moment. At our agency, we do this in like two key ways, like making sure that we have the right source material to be culturally nuanced and in touch. So that means a lot of ethnographies. We have culture hunters going into the world, seeing what people are talking about, how they're talking about things. We have an intersectional practice called Nuance that's really making sure that we understand the fluidity and nuance of the communities that we're serving and making sure that we're really picking up the right signals, language, behaviors that reflect those communities. And then when we get into the process itself, at Momentum, we've built something called CTA, which stands for Culture, Transaction, and Amplification. And that's basically the DNA of our ideas. And we make sure that during our briefing process and as we're reviewing our creative ideas, that every idea, one, is culturally relevant. So whether it's pushing on an insight relevant to the consumer or out in the world, out in the wild, the T stands for transaction. Action is more what is the value exchange that we're creating between the brand and the consumer so that we are motivating an important behavior on behalf of the brand, whether it's a direct business transaction, an advocacy moment. We want to make sure that consumers and people leave our experiences doing something that is important to our brand. And then amplification, that experience, that moment is incredibly important to that audience. But if it's only serving that audience, we've missed something. We need to make sure that these experiences live beyond the moment, get amplified, whether it's sitting in a chapel that natively has a large audience already, or a mechanic that's very social and inherently will compel people to share and amplify these messages. So that's how we, you know, and there's many other parts of this, but when we think about culture, those are two ways in for us to make sure that what we do resonates within culture.
So one more question and then we move on a little more personal, but so how do you measure that? Because measurement is a big theme here. And how are you able to measure that? Or are you?
Well, I think we apply creative filters to things. You know, I think sometimes if we get into testing too early in the creative process, it can destroy creativity in a way that I don't think is actually helpful. Mm-hmm. Culture for us is about making sure that we are having and surfacing up interesting, complex insights that are not obvious, because we find that's where we're going to lead to more interesting creative territory. So am I looking at syndicated research resources that say like this consumer over indexes in bird watching? Like, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the most helpful place to be culturally relevant, but are we, you know, looking at diaries of how people are shopping, looking at trend lines at Pew Research and so forth? I think those are the things that provide more grist for our creatives that lead to more interesting creative sparks. And then on the back end, you know, measurement comes on the back end in terms of like, did we move the needle? Did all this land in a way in culture that people cared about? Did they do the behavior that we wanted them to do? Did they talk about it? And that for us, those outcomes are where we start to measure, did this idea work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so themes that are happening here that I would, you know, that I really want to talk to you about. One of them is around female leadership. Mm-hmm. I just moderated the last panel in the Equality Lounge on female leadership, and tomorrow I'm doing another one on empathetic leadership. I want to ask you, as a leader, do you have advice for other modern female leaders or people who are looking to be leaders? That's a very broad question.
Yeah. I think that there's two things that come to mind with that question. One is surrounding yourself with mentors, people that you look up to, not just in your space, but outside of your space, who can give you advice, who can give you new perspectives, ways to think about it, can connect you to other people and have another conversation. It may not be the conversation, but it might be a conversation that could lead to your next opportunity, could lead to a growth moment for you saying, huh, I didn't think about it. You know, for me, I love having these conversations because, Elena, have you spoken to so-and-so? They just piloted a really interesting research methodology. You should check it out. Amazing. Let me reach out. And that person becomes, you know, hopefully somebody who's useful, but, you know, I've made a lot of my wonderful close friends as a result of that moment. And so having a a mindset of wanting to meet new people, connecting with new people, and building a trusted circle of advisors is really key, I think, to growth. And they help to advocate for you as you grow up, because promotions, just, you know, more practically, don't happen in isolation. It's because other people are sitting at the table saying, yes, Elena, she's somebody we want to bet on. I think that she can make a difference. And somebody echoing that and saying, yes, I believe that too. So making sure that you're stacking the deck as much as possible to have allies at your table is really important. And then the second part is stretch yourself. You know, some of my biggest growth moments in my career have come at moments where I didn't know if I could do the job, to be honest. They felt too big for me, or I didn't know what that job was, or they said, we don't know what this job is, but we think we need it. Can you define it? And so not getting tripped up of like, I need this explicitly and all these itemized job descriptions, or here's the roadmap for exactly how you're going to do it, and believing that you have enough tools, whether, you know, your mental capability, just being brave, just go for it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You're going to learn as you go. And again, if you're in the right setting environment, people will support you as you grow into that role. And I think it's a really important as a female leader, because we're the first ones to say, and I think there's research around this, like men will say yes, even if they're not confident, but women will more likely to like want to make overanalyze, but make sure that they are competent enough before they say yes.
Right. I hear this advice so much. I just heard it on the panel I did, and I hear it over and over, and I think it's so good. Just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't doubt yourself. And men don't do that.
No.
I mean, that's a generalization, but for the most part, you know, just say yes.
Just say yes.
You'll figure it out.
Yes.
Or you'll talk to your trusted circle of advisors and have them help you. And I want to ask you one thing about that. How do you build that? I mean, if you see someone you admire and you don't know them, can you ask, or are these people that you know?
I think, you know, be brave, right? This is goes back to take yourself out of your comfort zone. And if somebody is on a panel and they inspire you, or they say something that's really, really interesting, don't be afraid to say, go up to them after the panel, say, I really enjoyed your talk. I think, you know, this particular thing was quite interesting to me. Would you mind if I reach out to you and set up some additional time to talk about this more? 9 times out of 10, people will say yes.
Yeah.
They really will. Because they're in the same boat too. They're always looking to connect and learn from other people as well.
Yeah, it's true. People are more generous with their time and knowledge than you might think.
Yes.
And then the flip side is, as a leader, be that way to others.
Yes, pay it forward.
Pay it forward. So one thing, and I see it here, because I just saw someone, they spoke on a panel, but then at the same time, their phone was going off and they had to go out and, you know, talk to somebody. And then there is a pressure in our business, I would say especially, but I don't know because I'm in this business, but there is a pressure to always be on and always be available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exhausting.
Yes.
It is really, really exhausting. What is your stance or take on that for yourself and then for the people on your team?
It's hard. And I try to remind myself, because my instinct is to always be available, which is really, really bad, actually.
Yeah.
That if you're not modeling the behavior, it creates pressure for the rest of your team.
Mm-hmm.
If you see your leader always on and available, then your team, the people in your team will think that they need to do that too. And it cascades and it just continues forward. So I do, I mean, yes, for myself, but the thing that actually motivates me more to set those boundaries is I want to make sure that my people, the team, does that as well.
Yeah.
And now, does that mean it's rigid? No. And I've also, you know, I feel very lucky to work with the people that I do, because I think hopefully you've created a culture where people know, listen, I can make these decisions on my own. I don't need to run everything by Elena. But if things are in a pinch, like if something's really tough and I don't know what to do and like I'm worried or scared or something like that, I know that I can pick up the phone and call Elena, even though it is off hours time, because that should, you know, it's not like I close down at 6 p.m. and sorry, you're out of luck or whatever. I'm available for those moments. And my team has been always really great about being able to distinguish those moments. And I've learned that from my own leaders who I work with. They're very good about that too, about respecting the time, both on their own, but with when I'm off, but also knowing that in critical moments, they can reach out as needed.
Yeah. I used to do this thing where I would send an email and say, you don't need to answer me until tomorrow when you're working, which I thought was being very kind, but people are always answering me. But it was like, I was working when it was convenient for me.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting them to get back to me, but of course, they see their boss, you know, they're going to answer. So now I just, if I decide I'm in one of those moments of answering emails, I, you know, schedule them so they'll go out during work time. Because I think sometimes also you think you're doing something right and then you realize, well, wait a second.
Yeah. I think it's hard. Like, I think that now in our hybrid world, which is wonderful in so many ways, like the time shift is real. I think for working, you know, parents being able to, you know, log in early in the morning, get a block of work done during, you know, key childcare moments in the middle of the day, they'll log off and then they'll come back on and they'll do their work in that night shift and they get all the work done. But now there's new strategies, as you said, like you don't have to send those emails out at 8 or 9 p.m. You can sit them in the draft, schedule them to be sent out at, you know, 9 p.m., 9 a.m. the next morning and things like that. And I think that's really helpful. I also saw something interesting where someone did a little footnote saying, I'm sending this at an hour that's convenient to me. You know, please know that you are not required to respond and please respond in a time that is convenient to you. So I think those little things go a long way also.
So one of the other things, though, is however you're getting all your work done, you need to find time to stay inspired and to, you know, be thinking of, to be able to see what is connecting with culture, to go back to an earlier term. So how important do you think that is, which might be kind of a lame question because it's important, but how do you do that?
Oh, I will say in the pandemic, I was listening to a lot of podcasts. I still do.
Like Perspectives, like with Katie Kemner.
Obviously. There's so much content out there in wonderful ways. But what I noticed is like I was spending so much time in my head listening and not out there in the world. So like it's a balance. I live in New York City, which is an amazing hotbed of culture. So forcing myself to, you know, go out, visit new restaurants, music, theater. Like I find inspiration, not just in our own, you know, space, which we're in the hotbed of it right now in advertising week, which is always great, but just looking at different perspectives in the world, travel is always a great one when you can do it. It's everywhere. Like the source material is everywhere and just trying to expose myself to podcasts, the content, the reading, but then in real life, I think is a really important piece too.
That is a very important piece. Very, very important. And then, Elena, just to end, is there one piece of advice that you could share with us that has really helped you through your life and your career?
I think it goes back to what we were saying. Just say yes. Just say yes. Don't, you know, it's not even like about believing yourself. You don't even have to believe yourself in the moment, but just say yes. And then you will figure it out. The biggest stretch moments are always like the biggest growth moments. Yeah. The things like, I don't know how I'm gonna get this done. All of a sudden, like it just becomes like this motivator to like grow. And it's been great. So I just, that's the one thing, like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it. I don't know how I'm gonna balance being a mom and all these things and do the travel and all this. And you say yes and you figure it out and it works.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And here you are.
Here I am.
Here we both are. So thank you so much, Elena. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Katie, for having me. This was really fun.
Yes, it's been terrific. And thank you for listening. And please join us again because more from Advertising Week.
Yay.
Thank you.